So you guys seem to really like this kind of format of episode. I got a lot of really great responses. So I thought I'd do another one. So we are going to be talking about the way that I write songs and themes and meanings and, some behind the scenes secrets from four of my songs. Let's get going. Kiss me and I cry. You don't even mind. I'm hungover. I used to have this boyfriend. I say this all the time. I feel like I have talked about this before, probably. Do you know what I think it is? I spend so much time literally just talking to myself. I've probably just mentioned it to myself. But anyway. And I based the character of Bradley from some of my Halloween collections. I based Bradley on this guy in a sense. He had what I would class as an unhealthy obsession with porn. He had a whole external hard drive that was just for porn. And it was like categorized and shit. He had put work into this. And I just remember thinking, what the actual fuck? Like, I was so confused by that. I was like, what? Are you serious? I mean, he was. And he would show me stuff. And frankly, I got nothing out of it. I still don't. It's not for me. I don't know. I have no interest in seeing other people that I have no emotional connection to doing things. And also quite a lot of it is quite, it's a bit much. But anyways, but it kind of became like a defining thing in our relationship because it was very obvious to me, even though I was sort of in denial about it, that what was on his screen, right, was what he wanted me to be. And I was not that girl. I'm still not. And I felt like I was competing with these girls almost. And like I was in this process where he was trying to kind of train me to be like them and kind of mold me into that thing that I'm not. And I mean, there was a lot wrong with the relationship anyway, but I really do feel that that aspect was probably one of the biggest problems that led to the relationship being a massive fail, because I spent the entire time second-guessing myself, trying to force myself to be this fantasy that adorned his laptop screen, knowing that I wasn't being true to myself, knowing that I was having to try and do all of these things that seemed fucking terrible and horrifying, frankly, and trying to be this girl in this fantasy scenario that actually isn't real anyway. And it was just unsustainable. And for a long time after, it was very hard to kind of get rid of that sort of almost impulse to try and be like that, because, you know, I thought, okay, well, that's obviously what men like, and I have to be like that if I want them to be with me. And it was very hard to kind of get rid of that and say, no, you know, this is supposed to be something that both people are happy with. This is supposed to be something both people, you know, something that both people feel is beneficial for them. And that wasn't really what happened. I honestly don't remember at any point him asking me what kind of things I liked or what I would like to do. It was very much just, here are the things that I like. Here, watch some instructional videos. Here, read this. You know, here, do this. You know, it was very that. And so I kind of, I wrote Hard Drive about that kind of experience and kind of feeling like that pressure to do things and to act in certain ways because of the influence of that kind of thing. At the time, there had been a lot of stories in the news, and there still is now, actually, about, you know, young girls who, you know, who had been pressured into things by their boyfriends that their boyfriends had seen and like porn and stuff. And then these girls were getting injured. You know, there was a horrific story I remember a couple of years ago about a girl who had life-changing injuries because of something that her boyfriend had pressured her to do after seeing it in porn. And, you know, when I saw those stories, I just thought, I understand that, you know, because I've had that experience too. And so I guess I kind of wanted to write about how it feels when you're that girl and you're being pressured to change yourself and abandon your boundaries. And, you know, it feels like they're not actually interested in you. They just want somebody to project all these things onto. And, you know, how that kind of feels. Because even when we were seeing those stories about those girls and what happened to them, and, you know, girls and women speaking up about these things, it just kind of, nothing seemed to change. If anything, things got worse, you know, and there's even more pressure now, because obviously I wrote that song 2018, and obviously we're now in 2020, and there's even more pressure for girls and women to adapt themselves and change themselves and be different to who they are to go along with whatever is currently trending in porn and what is popular. And it's kind of sad in a way, because when I wrote that, obviously it was getting out a lot of, you know, anger and sadness that I had from that situation. And I just thought maybe things would be different. And perhaps that was horrifically naive of me, but I just hope that, I hope that we can find a place in the future where there's not situations where, you know, girls and women are being pressured like this. But with the way things are going, I don't really see it as realistic. That's the second time I've written something about someone that was dead, but I actually checked that they were, like I knew that they were. Because last time, of course, was of Youth in the Bridge, and it turned out they weren't dead, and I was like, oh. But this person actually is, unfortunately. I wanted to kind of create this kind of angelic kind of sound. I used like synths over the guitars to kind of create this kind of like heavenly choral energy, and because I wanted it to kind of be like that. I know it's a very short song. I remember when I previewed a bit of this this record on the podcast, I remember saying I can't show too much of this one because it's really short, and I was right. It was very difficult to consider making it longer because it's very hard to write something like that about somebody when you miss someone. Sometimes it can feel very therapeutic to write about them, but then sometimes it's a bit too close, and I very much felt that. So it's not very long, but it was very, after when I had put it all together, and I looked at it and I thought, yeah. It was like I was at peace with it, with the whole thing. And so even though really it was too short to be released properly, I did very much insist on it going on. And I wanted it on the standard track list because it was very important to me, and I had to fight for that a little bit, but I won in the end. But it was important to me for it to be there, so I'm very glad that I won that particular argument. And I then later wrote a poem based on that for the book, for that particular chapter. But to be quite honest, I feel like the song kind of describes what I was feeling better than the poem does, if that makes sense. I think because with the song you have the, you know, the music as well as just, you know, the words. And I feel like that is a very important part of kind of describing that feeling, that acceptance of you're gone. And I had to find a way to be okay with that. And I think I have. And I don't regret what we shared together. And I'm trying to find a way to not regret having to lose you, because that's something that neither of us had control over, and trying to be okay with that, you know. I feel like the kind of sound that it has, like, to me, it's kind of like an extra layer of that emotion. Do you know what? I remember listening to, I was just about to kind of record like the final version of it, and I was just listening to just the instrumental, and I just thought, this is exactly what I wanted for this, and this is what I wanted for her.
All the time, I'm still here.
actually started as Dreamed About You, which was this kind of thing I was just doing like for fun and as an experiment. I had finished Subliminals, which I released kind of at the start of 2019, but I'd finished it and I had nothing to do. And I'd finished the new book as well, Old Brown Eyes Is Back, so I'd nothing really going on. So I was like, I'm basically just going to fuck around and just like do a couple of quick things and just sort of see what happens. And I found this really gorgeous sample by a producer called Toby. I'll put his page in the description, you know, for SoundCloud and everything, because his work is so great. And he put it out there and he said, make stuff with it, show me what you do. And so I kind of came up with Dreamed About You, which I wrote about the characters Marina and Grant that I created for one of my old projects, Drowning in Us. And because I was going to do kind of something more with that project, and in the end I didn't end up doing it, but that was what it was originally for. So I was just kind of fucking about with this sample and having fun with it, and then I started building on it more, and I created some additional parts to it, and I created the intro, which was supposed to be for a completely different song. But it really reminded me, you know, kind of like emotionally, of Dreamed About You. So I was like, I'm going to put them together. It's a match. I'm going to do that. And it kind of, it just felt right. And so I put them together. And I filmed the music video for it, in Blackpool, because I still kind of had that whole Marina Grant thing on my mind, and I thought, I'm going to go there and just film the video. So in a sense, it's kind of an extra Drowning in Us project, but like not really, because there was like a whole bunch of other stuff I was going to do. I was going to do some more stories and some more poems about the characters, but I never got around to it. But there's always the music video, I suppose, for any people who are upset that I didn't go through with the full project. But so, you know, it was sort of this period of time I did that. I did basically the whole of the Sleepwalking project basically came from that. I just had this period of time where I just kind of did all these different songs. You know, like I would just take a Saturday afternoon and just like write a song, and put something together. And I, you know, so I came up with, you know, four tracks, and I just thought, yeah, okay, I like this. I'm going to put this together as an album and release it. And then, you know, obviously after that, I started working on other stuff, but it was basically just something to fill the gap. I had nothing to release after about June, I think, and so I was like, well, I've got to do something. I can't just, you know, take several months off until Halloween. So but it literally just started as something I did for a laugh over the weekend, and then became, you know, a whole thing. So
thank you.
Do you know what? I have this memory of that song, right? Listen to the demo of it as I was walking around Asda doing my shopping, just thinking, yeah, this is quite decent, to be honest. I was in the aisle where they've got all the tins and that, and they've got like peas and shit, and just thinking, yeah, I'm happy with that. Great, I'll clean it up a bit and we're good to go. Anyway, I was really kind of trying to create like a 2 a.m. radio, you know, you're in the dark by yourself, maybe you're driving through the night, maybe you're just in bed trying to stave off loneliness, and you're just like, you just hear like this sad song on the radio, you know. It was this memory I had from my childhood, right? I was, because I've always had problems sleeping, I don't really know why, but the phone I had at the time, you could get onto the radio and you could listen to the radio. And I remember just putting it on because I felt sad and I felt lonely and I couldn't sleep. And I just heard this, just listening to like all like the sad songs and slow songs they play at night. And I just thought, yeah, this whole situation gets me. Like, it just, I mean, sometimes when you're sad, you just want to like have a little pity moment, you know? And so it's like I was writing a song for that, but I kind of tried to create like this kind of lonely but hopeful sound, you know, this kind of the rain at the beginning. Actually, there's another version on one of my many cloud drives where I recorded some extra sounds to go over the rain, like, you know, someone going outside and, you know, but I thought maybe that was a bit too isolated, so I left that off. But you know, kind of the, I wanted it to feel kind of almost like the music was alone and lonely and sad, you know, and the lyrics are lonely and sad, and that was kind of what I was aiming for. And it's kind of about this destructive kind of situation where two people, they're not good for each other, you know, because that was a situation that I was in, you know, the one I was writing about. And it was like, we couldn't kind of let go and separate ourselves from that fantasy. It was like we were more in love with the relationship than we were with each other, you know, like. And it's like, you know, when neither of you can say we shouldn't do this anymore, but neither of you really want to do it anymore, and you just cling to each other because it's all you know how to do. And that can be the loneliest feeling of all, when you have someone right there, but you know that it's just out of habit, and then you're like, oh, fuck. I played it to my mum, actually, because she came over, and I thought, you know, because she likes to keep up with what I'm doing, which is very kind of her. It's very supportive, and I do appreciate it. And I'm thinking, you know, what am I going to play her? Because this was before I wrote some of the stuff that I played on last week's. So I didn't have any of those in my back pocket. And I was like, right, there are some songs on this that I do not want to play to my mother while she sat here in front of me. But this is a safe option. This is safe. You know, there's nothing here that she will find too controversial. So I played it to her, and I sort of was waiting for her reaction, and she said, oh, it's lovely, it's beautiful. And I'm thinking, oh, thank God. You know, oh, I mean, she's probably just saying that because she's my mum and she's obliged, but oh my God. But I mean, my mum's a very honest person, so if she actually hated it, she would have said, but I still had like this anxious like energy, like, oh, why have I done this? Why have I agreed to do this? What the fuck? But when she said that, I just thought, yeah, okay, it's fine. This album's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. And it was. So, but yeah, I just, every time I hear that song though, it's so stupid. I no longer associate that song with the situations I wrote about, with the person that I wrote it about. I just think about two things. That anxious moment waiting for my mum to say whether she liked it or not. And that time that I was in Asda by the peas listening to it. Like, the things I actually wrote about and the person I wrote about, like, they're it's like they've become detached from it, which is crazy, but you know, it's how I feel, I guess.
Why can't you figure it out? I can't teach you anymore. Figure it out.
Recorded that in a cupboard.
I recorded the vocals for that in a cupboard. Because I wanted to record, like, I'd done a couple of bits and pieces for it, and I was like, I want to get this, like, down. I want to get this done. And there was people over at my house, and they were downstairs. And, like, you could hear them if I was just recording in my room. And so I went into a cupboard because it was more isolated, and people would, like, I wouldn't be able to, like, you know, it wouldn't pick up the sounds of the people downstairs. So I, so yeah, I recorded the vocals for that song in a cupboard. The spoken sections, right? Firstly, they essentially originated from the fact that I was feeling kind of, I'd done something similar on one of my songs, Biro. Like, I'd done a little spoken outro, but I'd never done something like that before, where there's, like, several segments of spoken dialogue in a song. So I decided to sort of try it out. Quite a lot of it was improvised, really, because I was just sort of coming up with it. And occasionally I'd sort of run out of things to say, and I'd be like, oh, fuck. And I'd just, like, stop recording and sort of hope that I could fix it in post, which thankfully I was able to for the most part. But I kind of wrote it about almost like feeling dehumanized by kind of modern seduction techniques, if you will, of men, and how, you know, they kind of all have the set way of doing things, and, you know, they say all these things and they don't often mean them, and it just feels like you're constantly playing this game even if you don't want to. And you're like, this is fucking weird. You know, it kind of, that feeling that to some men, women are not individuals, they are just, you know, things that they can, you know, do whatever they want with. And just kind of my feelings on that, and, you know, so I just basically just ranted for several minutes with occasional singing of a chorus. But it was a lot of fun, you know, just kind of getting all my feelings out there, and, you know, not worrying too much about, you know, having to fit it to a typical song structure, and just, you know, just going off basically and being like, these fucking bitches. I had a lot of fun doing it, but I did worry about releasing it, because I figured that, because there were some things that I said that would make it quite obvious who I was talking about, but it turned out that person didn't really, he wasn't as smart as he thought he was, let's just say that, because he still to this day does not seem to realise. I wrote another song about him as well, and I'll probably talk about that one day, but it was the same situation. He was like, oh yeah, it's a great song, I love it. He didn't seem to realise that, like, the whole thing was like a subtweet at him. And I'm like, wow, okay, all right then, you know, fine. I mean, I like to think if someone wrote something about me that basically said, you ain't shit and the way that you treat me makes me feel terrible, I would get it. But I mean, who knows? So, I don't know when the next one of these is going to be. I had a bit of spare time this weekend, so I thought I'd do one. I might do one next weekend, I might not, I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I hope you enjoyed it, and I will see you again for the next episode. Good night, my love.